shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
Welcome to the Tennis Podcast with Scott Cooney on RSN 927.
Yes, welcome to the second edition of the Tennis Podcast here on RSN 927. Scott Cooney with you, and great to have you with us. We'll get to the one and only Dash and Darren Park and RSN's very own once again in just a tick to recap a massive day one there at Melbourne Park. Mixed results for the Aussies. Of course, some upsets, some stock standard results as well. And we'll also, of course, chat heaps about the action coming up today on day two as well. The Tennis Podcast here on RSN 927 for Shanklin Cafe in Hawthorne East. And tell you what, if you haven't already, try the portobello mushroom or a chili prawn scramble. And of course, Dan, Joe, Alex and Antonius and all the crew will look after you as well. And we're also here thanks to the Middle Hotel in Currumburra. Fish, Elise and all the crew will look after you there too. Great tab facilities. Of course, the best, coldest beer in town and plenty of ripping food as well. And, of course, check out the massive new deck and book your next function. Open 9 a.m. to 1 a.m. With food all day in January from midday as well. So just head down to South Gympie there to Currumburra and check out the Middle Hotel. Heard a whisper too that Matty Lloyd was there on the weekend, I think. So we'll try and confirm that throughout the show. But let's get to Dash.
This is beautiful. I've said it a few times. It's felt like it's an eternity since I have been back on this beautiful court. And last year was just incredible. Obviously highlighted by Wimbledon, it was a dream of mine, and I was extremely fortunate that it came true. And I had so much fun in that week, and I'm just glad I was able to enjoy it with my team, everyone back here in Australia. But it's certainly nice to be back on home soil now and playing as well as I did tonight. It was a lot of fun out here.
Ash Barty, thanks to Channel 9 after a demolition job in the first round there against Cerenko. The Barty party off to a fine start. And right now, here on the Tennis Podcast on RSN 927, the one and only Dash and Darren Parkin joins us once again. As we spoke about Dash, we say good morning to you, mate. Barty, seemingly in the hard court form of her life.
Yeah, and then very nearly a double bagel, obviously, 6-love, 6-1. It wasn't on paper, the easiest round one matchup. I mean, Cerenko, she had some injuries, but she got to 23 in the world. It's not like playing, a conventional qualifier or someone that you might get as the world number one. But she certainly made her look like she was ranked 500th the way she completely dispatched her. Obviously, there'll be tougher matches to come, and we obviously forecast towards a potential fourth-round meeting with Naomi Osaka, who looked pretty good yesterday. Admittedly, that game sort of fluctuated a little bit, but certainly a strong showing for her first up. But yeah, from a Barty point of view, it was a really encouraging start, and she moves on to Bronzetti, who I think she may have played in Adelaide. It was about $13.
Yeah, I was just going to say too before we chat about a mixed day for the Aussies on day one at Melbourne Park for the Australian Open 2022. Dash, who would you go with at the moment out of Barty and Osaka? Because traditionally, a lot of people say on the hard courts, Osaka at her best is unstoppable, but I'd have to say at the moment, I'd be leaning towards Ash.
It's also strange that they haven't played each other a lot. I think it's 2.5 years since they last played each other. Generally, if you've got players that are both up towards the top of the tree, they'll cross paths a bit in tournaments. Now, I know Osaka took a bit of time away, but even, in previous Australian Opens, where I think both of them have made the quarters and the semis and they haven't crossed paths, I would say Ash probably just at the moment. But look, Naomi, I would agree with that. I think her, as a hardcore player, she may be the best in the world. Ash probably the best in the world overall based on her versatility. We don't see Naomi generally perform that well on clay or grass. But I think in Melbourne, the way the courts are playing and the form she's in and the momentum she's had, I would probably go Ash at this stage.
Barty, 370 favourite for the tournament at tab.com.au. Osaka at $7, longer odds the rest. As I said, a mixed day for the Aussies. 12 Aussies in action on day two at Melbourne Park. Look forward to getting your thoughts on all that and some of the popcorn matches and the like today too, Dash. But, of course, as I said, mixed results for the Aussies on day one. There were 6 matches, 3 wins, 3 losses. Of course, Barty was one of those. But the other, of course, lady in action for us, Tomljanović, came a cropper, 6-4, 6-love against the informed Badosa.
Yeah, Bedosa certainly in form. Her finish to 2021 was enormous. Probably started, probably harsh to say the finish, it probably started before the French Open. She had a very good year, but the back end of the year particularly impressive. She started this year well. She would have to be a dark horse potentially to challenge on the trophy. She played Tomljanovic in Sydney and beat her 4-3 a couple of weeks ago, maybe probably about a week ago, but beat her 4-love this time. And for Alia, Alia's usually all right against, you know, those top-level players. She usually creates opportunities. We saw last year she served for the match against Simona Halep in the second round and got beaten. But on this time, she couldn't get a look in. Normally, she's fairly competitive, even in defeat. But, yeah, this time she was given a bit of a touch-up, unfortunately.
Of course, we had a couple of winners as well in the men's. We'll start with Vukic. Of course, lost to Kokkinakis in Adelaide last week, but he's really up and coming, isn't he? And he caused a huge win against Lloyd Harris of South Africa, coming from a set down to win in four.
Yeah, he took a set off Kokkinakis in that match as well that we spoke about. This match was kind of similar to last year. He made his Australian Open debut last year and played Hashinov in the first round, and it was a set apiece, and he was up 5-2 in the third. It ended up going to a tiebreak, and he lost it 11-9 or something in the tiebreak and then got beaten in four. But he had a similar opportunity last year against a good player to, you know, get a real good claim on victory, and this time he ran away with it. He dropped his serve in the very first game of the day and then didn't drop it again for the remainder of the contest. He was outstanding. On the big points, he was terrific. And obviously, to take out a seeded player gives him a lot of confidence now. He's got Rado Albot, I think, in the second round, which he'd have to be a decent chance in. Albot's been around for a while, but ranked 124 in the world. A reasonable chance for him to progress to a third.
Big John Millman winning against Feliciano Lopez. Hasn't had the best form of late, Big John, but a match he should win, and he did in four. Of course, James Duckworth hasn't quite been his year thus far after a ripping year last year. He lost in five, unfortunately, to Manarino of France. But you mentioned Kokkinakis, and that was the big disappointment, wasn't it, on day one. From an Aussie's perspective, mate, really never looking like it against Hanfman. Absolutely pummeled, really. 6-2, 6-3, 6-2. As we spoke about yesterday, Dash, on the tennis podcast here on RSN 927, mate, there was always that danger, wasn't it? After a big couple of weeks in Adelaide, there might have been a letdown that certainly came to fruition.
Yeah, I guess that's what we were hoping against. We probably were forecasting beyond that to the second round, where he would have played Rafa, and he obviously had to get through yesterday first in order for that to happen. And, yeah, I mean, putting it in perspective and taking nothing away from his opponent, he played 9 games in 11 days. Now, to win a Grand Slam, you play 7 in 14. So he played, a heavier schedule, admittedly best of 3 rather than best of 5, but played a heavier schedule than he would have ever played before. He won 8 of the 9 matches that he played over those 2 weeks, beat some really good players, and it does appear on face value that he flew to Melbourne and had unfortunately hit the wall. So what we just hope is that it sets up a really good year for him. He started well, he's fit, he's healthy. Those things are going to happen. You're going to adjust to, obviously, life playing every week again. But, yeah, I think he set the platform, even regardless of yesterday, for what hopefully is a pretty good year.
Jenna Harrison's very own Dash and Darren Parkin here on the Tennis Podcast for Shanklin Cafe, 500 Taronga Road in Hawthorne East, just 10 minutes from Melbourne Park. And, of course, great action ahead on day two of the Australian Open 2022, Dash. But just looking back at day one a bit more as well across the board, and we'll look at some of the key women's matches in just a moment. But in the men's, mate, Sebastian Korda thrashed Cameron Norrie 6-3, 6-love, 6-4. We saw Karatsev, of course, semi-finalist last year. Survivor scare there against Jane Muna in five, getting through there. Zarev, of course, in straighter, although a couple of breakers there against Altmaier. And, of course, Rafa Nadal beating Giron 6-1, 6-4, 6-2. And, of course, Kecmanovic, mate, the beneficiary of the Joker situation. He would have appreciated, no doubt, seeing Caruso on the other side of the net instead of his countryman, mate, and the Serbian one very easily 6-4, 6-2, 6-1.
He did, and a couple of others. Hurkacz had to battle a little bit, won his match in four sets. Matteo Berrettini dropped the first set in his match and had to battle through his match. Hashinov likewise dropped the first set before winning his match in four. Shapovalov, a couple of tie breaks in his win as well, which was also in four sets. So there were a few players that were stretched. Carlos Alcaraz, the young Spaniard, who has a pretty bright future, He dominated his match against Tabilo. Gael Monfils continued his form from Adelaide, winning pretty easily as well. That quarter match was one that did stand out. He's a player on the rise, quarter, but we know Norrie, his base level in the last 2 years has been pretty good. So to have him blown away was a little bit of a surprise. Riley Opelka won the Battle of the Big Servers against Kevin Anderson pretty convincingly. Oscar Roddy, I mentioned him yesterday in the multi, is a guy that I like quite a bit coming through. He won comfortably in straight sets. And, Karatsev was down 2-1 in that match as well. So, good signs. And Tommy Paul, pretty convincing win as well. He's been in solid form.
And that's, as we mentioned, the women's, of course, Barty through comfortably, and Osaka pretty comfortably as well. And, we mentioned the letdown factor with Kokkinakis. It didn't quite happen with Madison Keys. I was a little bit worried about it, but, of course, she edged compatriot Sophia Kennan 7-6, 7-5. Ripping start to the year for Madison. Of course, Alison Risk, who lost that final last week to Keys and her compatriot, of course, she was too good for Donna Vekic of Croatia, 6-2, 6-2. The French Open champion in Krejcikova beating Pekovic, smashing her 6-2. Six love, but the big story of the women's, mate, was Quang Wang beating, of course, Coco Gauff, the American teenage sensation, 6-4, 6-2. We saw Wang beat Serena, I think, here last year or the year before, mate. But I think I've spoken to you about a little bit before, and it's, Wang can produce that sort of tennis. But, of course, she's young, very young still, and a very good player, no doubt. But I just think the hype on Coco is a little bit much, mate. I think she's a little bit overrated, and they talk about it like she's the best thing since the baked eggs at Shanklin Cafe, mate, but I think that we've got to cool our jets a little bit.
Yeah, I think for her, the problem is that she emerged really quickly as a youngster when she was 15 or thereabouts. She's probably still that level of player, and I guess that's going to happen. I mean, from 15 to 18, she's probably stayed at about that same level. It's probably now for her to take that next step. She's probably got herself into the top 20, 25 in the world, and probably people, their eyes lit up thinking that she would just keep going and going and going, but it's not as easy as that. So she's probably stuck in that holding pattern to some degree, where obviously she's got to take that next step and struggling to do that at the moment. She did make a semi, obviously, during the week, where she was beaten by Keys in that clash as well. But Anna Samova, she won in three sets. Obviously, we used to her in the past, made a semi-final at the French. Belinda Bencic, who's a good player. She beat Mladenovic, who is sort of rising waves over her career. Svitolina, a pretty comfortable victory. Maria Sakkari had to fight pretty hard. It was Sakkari against Maria, which was interesting, but won that in straight sets. Marta Kostyak had a pretty good year last year. She actually knocked Serena out of the French last year. She won in straight sets. Daria Yastremska with one of her trademark retirements, down 5-love in the third. It's not the first time she's done that. Who else did we have that sort of stood out along the way? Azarenka was pretty good in her straight sets, winning another French Open champion in Yelena Ostapenko, who can be a little bit temperamental. She got through in three sets. But, everything went relatively to script over the course of that day, apart from Coco.
And, of course, Ons Jabeur withdrawing, mate. No real surprise, given how upset she looked when withdrawing with injury for a set down against Kontaveit last week.
Yeah, that's right. That came through at probably 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning yesterday. A very late call. That was one leg in my multi, so that was avoided in any case. But, and then we had Barra obviously come in and play that match instead and get rolled 6-3, 6-1 by Parises Diaz. So Pegula won a pretty tight match as well yesterday. That was probably, in terms of head-to-head contest, probably the best match of the day with a 4-6, 7-6, 7-5 win.
Attention turns to day two there at Melbourne Park, mate. And as we alluded to earlier, 12 Aussies in action. What are you most looking forward to there, mate? Of course, Storm Sanders, I noticed, into 3:30 against Sabalenka at tab.com.au.
Yeah, we know Sabalenka's form has been, certainly iffy. Jordan Thompson against Steve Johnson should be interesting, but obviously Alex De Minaur starts his campaign today. And, it's against Lorenzo Massetti, one of the young Italians. I think that was the Italian that took the first two sets off Djokovic of the French. We see Nick Kyrgios against Liam Brody. It is potentially Sam Stosur's last singles match. We see her against Robin Anderson. Obviously, she's retiring from singles at the end of her Australian Open campaign. We'll keep playing doubles, where she's had a lot of great success in recent times. So she's been a great of modern tennis for Australia, and obviously each time we see her in this Australian Open, it could be the last time. And I'm really keen to see how Priscilla Hahn goes. She beat Kvitova in Adelaide and then was pretty good against Azarenka in the next match. Lost, I think, 7-5, 6-4. She's got Vondrousova, so not an easy match, but if she can, you know, harness some of what she did in that Adelaide tournament, then, I'm curious to see how she fares in that match.
So much talent, Dash. And, yeah, 550 at tab.com.au. Sometimes you're just not too sure. Like, it can go in and out of matches a little bit, but just... You had a top of her game, mate, and obviously she's had a few injuries. She's a super player, mate, and you're right. It might be worth it there at tab.com.au, a bit of value at the 550. Look forward to your multi very shortly as well, mate. But as we spoke about yesterday, a couple of popcorn matches, so to speak, today. And as I said, I don't mind Kanepi, who's into 245 against Kerber. But Murray Bachelors-Philly meet again, mate, and Murray got the better of Bachelors-Philly the other day, and I think it was about $4, though, which looked crazy. When they met the other day, Bachelors-Philly obviously didn't get the chocolates, but he's 245 this time. Murray $1.50. I'll get your thoughts on Slade Stevens and Emma Raducanu again shortly. But do you think Bachelors-Philly turns the tables on the Scott?
It's a tricky one. Obviously, Murray let the final run at Sydney. Obviously, he did pretty well in the US Open against Tsitsipas in a five-setter late last year as well. He's grown in popularity, Murray. He's obviously not at the level now where he's going to win titles, perhaps like he did before, but I think certainly amongst the Australian crowd, he's probably more popular than he's ever been. I would anticipate that being a pretty long match, and that's one of the main popcorn fixtures. Certainly Stevens, Raducanu, two former Grand Slam champions. Raducanu obviously very recently won the most recent slam that was available, the US Open Women's. So that's a huge matchup. Also, one sort of out of left field is the Conger Rogers matchup. It's a curious match, I think. I'd be keen to see how that one sort of plays out. And Petra Kvitova against Sorana Cristea, I think, is another one that could go either way. That is probably worth having a look at on that women's side of the draw. And Popper and Rindanec, just to go with the Australian flavour, I think that's an intriguing contest.
Yeah, I agree with you a lot there too. Dash, obviously, Cristea, 245, she's firmed a bit against Kvitova. I don't know if I trust enough to take that, but I think the handicap three games, it should be a pretty close affair, as you say. And as you say, Cunha and Rogers, very intriguing, mate. 220 at tab.com.au, Cunha, such a talent as well. Hits the cover off it, and if she's on, Rogers might have a bit of trouble there. And if you had to pick a winner of that Stevens-Raducanu match, mate, the tab are finding trouble with it because it's $1.90 now, each of two. And I can certainly understand why. I've tossed and turned over this one, mate. I was actually leaning towards Stevens, I think. And then I heard you got married last week. So now I'm starting to think Raducanu, it's a tough one.
Yeah, I was probably similar in that it was sort of going each way. I think Raducanu's probably ceiling might be higher, but I think Stevens may be right now more likely to produce that level.
And all the listeners, mate, are hanging on for your multi, so we'll get that. But just before we let you go, really appreciate your time and being so generous with it. Before we get that multi there at tab.com.au, Dash here on the Tennis Podcast on RSN 927 for Shanklin Cafe and the Middle Currumburra Hotel. What do you think in the men's, mate? Medvedev, 250, Zverev, 450, and Rafa at $6. I know our very own Matty Nevitt, the Hornet, he's all over Rafa. It's not a bad price. Obviously, it's come in from about the 13s over last week or so, but I still think Medvedev and Zverev are that level above at the moment.
Yeah, I think Medvedev deserves to be favourites, but just leaning towards Zverev. I just think he'll never get a better opportunity than this. Generally enjoys these conditions. So, I don't mind him at that 450.
What's your value? What's your multi today, Dash, last but not least?
I reckon Humbert over Gasquet. I reckon Muguruza in straight in her match against... I know she can be a little bit hard to trust. They've gone Tournay at $1.33 in her head-to-head. I think Konteve in straight as well. I think Swiatek in straight. I think Medvedev in straight. I think Dan Evans against Goffin. I think Tiafo against Trungolecki. And I think the Rusevori, Felix Auger, Aliassime match you can adjust your line to about 35 games or thereabouts in that. I reckon Rusevori is a good enough player to push that game fairly deep. Borger Aliassime is a good player, but Rusevori, I think, is a player that's probably a touch unders in that match. And then I've just tucked a couple on for just to add, some bank interest on it, such as Ryber Keener. I think she'll win her match. And I've gone with, just to add a little bit into it, Casper Ruud to win his match as well. So all up, you get about $6.50 on all of that.
There you go, Dash's Multi at tab.com.au. Just reiterating that, so Humbert, Muguruza in straight, Cornet the win, Kontaveit in straight, Swiatek in straight, Medvedev in straight, Evans the win, TFO the win, Ryber Keener the win, Ruud the win, and it's a good segue to Dash to my Multi, mate, as well, there you go, because you like the overs over 35 in the Rusevori, Olga Aliassime total games over-under there at tab.com.au. I'm going to go with Rusevori, mate. I think he's going to cause the upset at the 360. Usually when I pot Olga Aliassime, he comes out and proves me wrong, and when I'm on him, he doesn't do anything. So maybe go with Olga Aliassime. I might even wreck your Multi there. He might win very easily, the Canadian. But no, I think Rusevori is definitely good enough, mate, and I think there's great value there at the 360. And I won't take that on its own, although I might as well, but take it into Kanepi there at the 245 against Kerber, though. It is Kerber's birthday, though, so sorry about that, Angie. But 360 into the 245, so might get not bad odds with the tab multiplier there, Dash. But thanks so much for your time once again, mate, here on the Tennis Podcast on RSN 927. Enjoy the tennis.
No worries, mate. You too.
Ripping stuff as always, Dashing Darren Park and RSN's very own. Here on the Tennis Podcast, we're here, as we said, thanks to Shanklin Cafe in Hawthorne East, just on Taronga Road there. What better way to start your day than with a coffee and brunch or even lunch on your way to the tennis? Open every day, 6:30 to 3 p.m. and just 10 minutes from Melbourne Park. And also, of course, and this is a perfect place to put your Multi on, Dash or My Multi there at tab.com.au. Great tab facilities at the Middle Hotel, Currumburra. Open 9 a.m. to 1 a.m. with food all day in January from midday. Check out the massive new deck and book your next function. Head down to Currumburra South Gippsland when you get the chance and check out the Middle Hotel, just like Matty Lloyd did. I can confirm that for you in just a moment. Fish, Elise, and all the crew will look after you. But yes, I was right. Matty Lloyd was there the other day. We'll leave you with that here on the Tennis Podcast on RSN 927. Enjoy the action.
What a great day it is for a Sunday sesh. Head down for a schooner and a feed with Fish and the crew down at the middle. Have a great one.
The all-new Kia Sportage medium SUV has been unleashed. Know the beauty of having a wild one with an all-new turbocharged engine. Bred to be fearless with a strikingly sculpted exterior, soft touch leather interior, and a kingdom worth of Kia boot space. Unleash the beast, explore the beauty with the redesigned Kia Sportage. For more info, visit kia.com.au.
Kia, movement that inspires.
rsn.net.au, your home of tips, news and racing views.
You're listening to the Tennis Podcast with Scott Cooney on RSN 927. All around, people looking half dead, walking on the sidewalk harder than a match head. But at night it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on and dance all night. Despite the heat, it'll be all right. And babe, don't you know it's a pity the days can't be like the nights in the summer, in the city, in the summer, in the city. In the city, dressed so fine and looking so pretty. Cool cat looking for a kitty, gonna look in there.